politics, sports, entertainment? Yeah, we've got that. It's WKOK Sunrise on News Radio 1070 WKOK and WKOK.com.
Thank you so much for joining us on WKOK Sunrise. Again, we thank Allie Stevens for filling in for a couple of days and helping us out. And the man who glues all of the pieces together, no matter what it takes, is Mr. Rob Center, our fabulous producer. So we always appreciate his help and hard work. On the news line with us now, Dr. Courtney Burns is on the phone. She's an assistant professor of political science at Bucknell University. And we can talk to her about gender issues and women in the work world and a wide range of other global issues, and that's what we're going to do today. Good morning, Dr. Burns. Thanks for calling in today.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Oh, I do appreciate that. Nice to meet you telephonically. You have been talking a little bit this semester about the state of women in the world today. Lots of women tried to get into the government office, and some were successful. Look at Kamala Harris, for example. And many others tried to get into government office, elected office. Is it feasible to state to the state of women in the work and government world today?
It is definitely part of the picture that more and more women are joining the work world and more women see themselves as capable of being in government. For a long time, the story for women was that they didn't see themselves in government, and so they didn't think that that was a place for them. And so what we've seen over the last really 10 years is more and more women running for office, and you know, the last election was just another part of that story.
If we're talking about, for example, maybe Black Lives Matters or some other prejudice or discrimination that exists in the world, you know, we can kind of pinpoint where that still is. Where are the growth areas for women? Where is the discrimination happening? Where are women still limited?
So when it comes to politics, where we see women so limited are in areas where we think men are traditionally more capable. And so what we see are stereotype biases. And this is taking place primarily in terms of things like national security, tax, crime. And, you know, in fact, we saw a lot of people thought Biden was going to appoint a female defense secretary, but he, in fact, appointed a man, and a black man, which will be the first black man to hold that position. But there's still those kinds of upper echelons where we see discrimination, and it really does have to do with stereotypes that women are perhaps too emotional or incapable of leading those top positions.
I think at some point people may think that women are capable of certain jobs and excel and climb, you know, in the government or corporate or military ladder appropriately. But other times they really need to be a pioneer. They need to do extra. Explain how it is still a claw uphill for women in many of these positions.
Yeah, so we often see women put into power in times of struggle in the business world, and we call this the glass cliff, where we put in women and people of color to change things up. The thought is, hey, we need to do something different. It's not working. The problem with this, and we're seeing this increasingly in government, the problem with this is that there's further to fall. And so if a woman or a person of color takes over and does a bad job, then it's even worse for future women or future people of color that they have higher to go because there's further to fall. And so, you know, in terms of, like, say, Kamala Harris becoming the vice president during a global pandemic, if something were to happen, you know, it's harder to blame the vice president, but she could be a part of that picture, and that could potentially be bad for future roles. But the fact that Biden is appointing a pretty diverse cabinet and advisees, that can actually be a good thing, because when you see people get appointed to positions that they traditionally have not been in, it's harder to go back. It's harder to say, hey, women can't do that. So if anything, you know, there's good and there's bad.
Are there places where women are fully accepted and equal and able and promoted to the best of their abilities and given a fair shot and don't have an uneven playing field?
In terms of government, I think that for the legislatures, women, especially at the local level and at the state level, they really don't have trouble winning elections. And we're even seeing this at the federal level. There's this kind of quote that when women run, women win. And so, you know, if anything, the hurdle is you would think about this as a pipeline. It's women thinking that they're capable or qualified to run for office. So, you know, as far as the electorate goes, the electorate will vote for women who identify with their political ideology. That's really the key here. Now, whether it's a level playing field or equal, I mean, there's still definitely stereotypes and things that they have to overcome. And women are often questioned about their families in a ways that men are not often questioned. And so, you know, it's kind of, I would say my answer is it depends. I don't think there's any kind of level playing field, but there are certainly playing fields where women, can compete and do well despite their perhaps being stereotypes or obstacles.
We often talk about building a foundation or building blocks or women standing on the backs of women so that there can be more women in government in some of these big roles. Is that happening? Do we have great momentum now where women have seen some great role models and have had some good mentors and are entrusted in these positions, that this should continue a cycle of growth for women?
Absolutely. I mean, the fact that we're having our first female vice president, this is critically important. These are role models. You know, this is someone in a position where a woman can say, hey, she can do it, so can I. And this is especially important for women of color. But, you know, even in the Republican Party, who have not ran as many women or who have ran women in races in, like, heavily Democratic areas, we saw the most Republican women ever run in 2020. And so I think that there's really an important story here for both political parties and for women across the political spectrum that, yes, you can be in office, yes, you can run, and yes, you can be in high positions of power. I mean, even within the Trump administration, he appointed women as, you know, his press secretary, for example. So even, you know, when we think about this, we often think about this as, oh, it's only the Democrats that care, but that's just not the case. Both Democrats and Republicans are working to putting women into high positions of power.
And trust of women. Tell me about that. This has been much studied. Who do people trust more or less?
Yeah, so this is cross-nationally, global studies have found that in general, people tend to trust women more in government. And so the research basically shows that when there are more women in the legislature in particular, people feel more trust in government. They think that the government is more capable of handling issues. And so there's definitely an important part of increasing representation of women to perhaps rebuilding some of the trust that people have lost in our government. And so, as I mentioned, this is held around the world. This is what we see out of research. And we even see this out of some Pew Social Trends research in the United States, is that people see women in government as more honest, more trustworthy. And so when you then increase the numbers of women, you hopefully increase the people who see government as more honest and trustworthy.
During a crisis, are women more trusted than men?
Yeah, this even holds during a crisis. And there's kind of an interesting anecdote out of, I want to say it was one of the government shutdowns in 2013, is that it kind of snowed one day in D.C., and the only people to show up to Congress were the women. And they were the ones that ultimately came up with the plan that opened the government. And so there really is this kind of important role that women can play.
So let's take that down to the electorate. If I am listening to candidates for office, whether you have an incumbent in place that's male or female, or a woman who is a candidate who or a challenger who may be female, how should I make sure that I sort of stop short of, you know, maybe dismissing her? Is there sort of a systematic way that I can be more equal?
I mean, I think this is a good question, and it varies on a lot of different levels. So when it comes to the United States electorate, political ideology matters more than gender, first and foremost. So say we're in a primary, though, and we're looking at a male incumbent and a woman challenger of the same political party. One of the things that we can do as voters is to be first cognizant, you know, am I thinking of her in a stereotypical way, or what kind of thoughts am I having? And then do our research, go on to their websites, listen to them talk and see, do they actually support policies? Do they have a platform that I support? That's really one of the best things that we can do.
All right. And I know it's too broad of a brush to even ask, but in terms of women in business, we've talked primarily about government. That's your specialty of study and research and so on. Mm-hmm. But in terms of women in business, can we say a few sentences just to talk about how women are advancing? We see it all over in business.
Yeah, you know, there's a Harvard Business Review article out that talks about how women in business are actually seen by their managers and people higher up as more capable than men. They're more likely to complete their tasks. And so this is important for the pipeline. I mean, this is both translates to government and to business. It's the pipeline matters. You have to have people to draw from for those managerial and higher up positions. And so given that higher ups are looking at women as in more positive light, then that can only be good for promotions and moving up the ladder. But, you know, it's really hard to overcome stereotypes. That can take a long time. And so, you know, we're moving in the right direction. Whether it's tomorrow things get fixed, you know, that's not going to happen. But I think over the next several years, we're going to start to see some change.
I would like things to get fixed tomorrow.
That would be wonderful.
There's quite a few things that need fixed. Well, thank you so much. Oh, quickie add-on here. The pandemic, has that served as a setback or an advancement? Lawrence's worthless view is it's probably helped women in a lot of the roles that you've talked about.
You know, the research I'm seeing, there's a mixed bag. In terms of government, there's this the painting of the picture that women leaders have been especially good at handling the pandemic. I have research that shows that that's not necessarily true in terms of death, but where they have been good at handling it is the way that they talk about it and the way that they kind of show themselves wearing masks, that kind of thing. In terms of the work world, most of the research that I've seen and heard about is that women were some of the first to lose their jobs. And so, women tend to be in retail and food work and that kind of thing. And so in some respects, that's been bad. But I think that some of those jobs will be some of the first to come back as well. We think about the shopping season during the holidays and that kind of thing. So it's a mixed bag in terms of whether it's been good or bad for women.
All right. Well, fascinating insights. Thank you so much. Please enjoy your holidays, and I hope we talk again and again and continue to explore these important topics. Thank you.
That would be great. You too. Bye.
That is Dr. Courtney Burns, an assistant professor of political science at Bucknell University.